Thanks, Natasha, and good morning, everybody. So I'm Michela from University of Padova. I'm going to talk about dynamics of black holes in young star clusters. Here you can see some of my collaborators, where I highlighted the names of Ugo Di Carlo and Nicola Giacobbo. They are both PhD students, and what I'm going to talk today is part of their thesis project. So the first big question is, why should we care about dynamics of black holes in star clusters, and in particular in young star clusters? A reasonable answer is that massive stars, which are the progenitors of black holes, form mostly in dense star clusters. And then it's reasonable to expect that black holes and their progenitors spend part of their life in star clusters and participate in the dynamical activity of a star cluster. And what are the main dynamical processes that can affect the formation and the evolution of binary black holes? Well, I cannot summarize all of them in a talk, in a 20-minute talk, so I will just discuss a few processes, dynamical processes, that I think are essential to study the formation and the evolution of binary black holes, starting with the dynamical hardening by three-body encounters. So in a star cluster, if we have a binary black hole in a dense star cluster, the binary black hole has a high chance of undergoing close encounters with other stars or black holes in the star cluster, because the core of the star cluster is a dense place. And on average, these three-body encounters tend to shrink the semi-major axis of the binary, which we call hardening of the semi-major axis of the binary. This happens because the binary tend to extract kinetic energy from, because the intruder tend to extract kinetic energy from the binary, and so the semi-major axis of the binary shrinks. And if this hardening, if this shrinking is efficient enough, then the binary can enter the regime where gravitational wave emission is important, and it can merge within a Hubble time by gravitational wave emission. In this sense, hardening can speed up the merger of a binary. This process of hardening can be studied through very computationally expensive n-body simulations, or it can also be modeled analytically with a very simple expression, provided that we make a couple of huge assumptions. The first one is that we assume that the central density of the star clusters does not change. The second one is that we assume that the central velocity dispersion of the star cluster does not change, which, as I said, are huge assumptions, but at least they help us understanding the hardening analytically in a very simple way. And this plot shows the change of the semi-major axis of binary with time for three binary black holes with different masses. And you see that the first stage, this very fast shrinking of the binary, is the same. It does not depend on the mass of the black holes, remarkably. Then the hardening slows down, because the binaries become so compact that it's very difficult for it to interact with other stars. But at some point, the semi-major axis drops. Here is when gravitational waves become important, and so the binary merges very rapidly. On the other hand, hardening is important to speed up the merger when we already have a binary black hole. But it cannot form a binary black hole. That's the reason why I think that there is another process, dynamical process, that is even more important to shape the demography of binary black holes in star clusters, and this is dynamical exchanges. Let's consider a binary composed of a black hole and a LOMA star. This binary cannot evolve into a binary black hole, of course, but if we put this binary in the core of a dense star cluster, then this binary has a high chance of interacting with other objects, for example, with a black hole, and a black hole can exchange into the binary, which means that it can replace the LOMA star and form a new binary black hole. And black holes are particularly efficient in acquiring companions through these exchanges, because they are massive. They are among the most massive objects in a star cluster. And we know that exchanges favor the formation of more massive binaries, because these are more energetically stable. That's why, with n-body simulations, we can see that the vast majority of binary black holes, not merging binary black holes, but binary black holes in star clusters, come from dynamical exchanges. And exchanges are also quite kind to us, because binaries that form via exchanges tend to have an imprint like they are more massive black holes with higher eccentricity, initial eccentricity, and with misaligned spins, because dynamics tend to reset spin orientations. So this was the motivation for us to quantify better the effect of dynamics on the demography of black holes in young star clusters. This is quite a hard challenge, especially for two reasons. One is that young star clusters, unlike globular clusters, are clumpy, asymmetric, they evolve very fast, and so you cannot use to simulate them fast Monte Carlo technique. You should rely on direct embodied simulations, which are very computationally expensive. The second reason is that in a young star clusters, you have massive binaries, massive stars and binaries that evolve very fast. So you cannot simply say, I'm interested in the dynamics, I will turn off stellar evolution and forget about stellar evolution. You need to simulate together stellar evolution, binary evolution, and dynamics, which means that you have to couple embody with population synthesis, with binary and stellar evolution. To do so, we set up a new code, which is a combination of N-body 6++ GPU, which is a state-of-the-art code for direct embodied dynamics in star clusters, with our population synthesis code MOBSE. MOBSE is a vigorous update of BSE. Here you see the main features of MOBSE. I think the most interesting feature is the treatment of stellar winds, where we assume that stellar winds don't depend just on the metallicity of the star, but also on its luminosity, so how close this luminosity is to its Eddington value. And with this kind of prescriptions in MOBSE, we obtain this kind of features for binary black holes. So this plot here does not contain the effect of dynamics. Forget about dynamics. This is just the result of population synthesis, several millions of population synthesis of binary stars. But I'm showing you this because it helps us understanding better the results from dynamics that I will show later on. So this is just binary evolution. This plot shows the total mass of black hole binary, so mass of black hole 1 plus mass of black hole 2. In the top panel, you see all binary black holes that come from our simulations. In the bottom panel, only those black holes that manage to merge within a Hubble time, 14 giga, roughly speaking. And the different lines show different metallicities of the progenitor stars. So from this plot, you learn things that we knew already, you have been known for years, and some things that are specific to MOBSE. So we see that the maximum mass of black holes depends on metallicity. This is something we have known for many years, we have predicted for many years. We see that the merger efficiency depends on metallicity. The lower the metallicity, the higher the number of mergers from the same stellar population. But we also see this feature, which is specific of the stellar evolution implemented in MOBSE. The maximum mass of merging binary black holes is smaller than the maximum mass of binary black holes that we form in our simulation. So the bigger black holes with a total mass up to 130 solar masses form in our simulation, isolated binary simulations, but they do not merge within a Hubble time. So this is the stellar and binary evolution framework. Now let's go back to the dynamical simulations. We use this setup to simulate a very large sample of star clusters, more than 6,000, and simulations are still running. This is the largest sample of simulations of young star clusters that has been run to study binary black holes. And we simulate this cluster with some very peculiar initial condition. We start from fractal initial condition. Why fractal? Because, as I said, young star clusters are very asymmetric, very clumpy places. They are basically the result of star-forming regions, so you cannot simulate them just with spherical conditions, spherical initial conditions, perfectly symmetric. And we also set up the masses, choose the masses of our star clusters, so that the distribution of the masses of our star clusters mimics the one of the Milky Way, of star clusters that we observe in the Milky Way and other nearby galaxies, so that we produce a synthetic model of star clusters, young star clusters, in local universe. Then we run the simulation, and we analyze the features of black holes and binary black holes that form in these simulations. So here you see the distribution of black hole masses that form in our simulations. In particular, the blue histogram shows the mass distribution of all black holes, except for intermediate mass black holes. The green histogram shows the distribution of binary black holes, all black holes that are in the masses of black holes that are in binary with another black hole at the end of the simulation. And the red histogram shows the masses of black holes that are part of merging binaries. And you see that we have higher masses with dynamics, we can reach larger masses than with single stellar evolution and binary evolution. So this blue line here shows the maximum mass of black holes that we can obtain from single stars at this metallicity. This is for 0.1 solar metallicity. And we even have a few black holes that have a mass between about 60 and 120 solar masses. These are black holes that technically fall in the peristability mass gap. Yesterday, both Chris and Matteo mentioned already peristability and pulsational peristability, and they say that it's extremely difficult to produce black holes in this mass range because peristability, in principle, prevents these black holes from forming. But here, from these simulations, we obtain a small fraction of these objects, essentially from this evolutionary channel. In star clusters, you can have mergers and even multiple mergers between stars. So what happens, what may happen, is that you can have a merger between a star with, that has already developed a core, a helium core or carbon oxygen core, and a main sequence star, so a non-evolved star. Out of this merger, under some assumptions, several assumptions, you can get a star with an undersized helium core that then avoids entering the peristability regime if the core is below about 30 solar masses and with a large envelope. If all the envelope collapses quietly to a black hole with the star, then you can produce a black hole in the mass gap. And this black hole is alone, but if it is in a star cluster, it can then acquire a companion through a dynamical exchange and form a new binary that eventually merges. This is a very rare event. In our simulation, we find less than 2% of merging binary black holes that contains one of these black holes. Let's focus then on the statistics of all merging binary black holes, not just these black holes in the peristability. So this plot shows the distribution of the total masses, mass of black hole 1 plus mass of black hole 2, for the merging binary black holes, where we distinguish two samples. The red histogram shows the dynamical binary black holes, those that evolved in the dynamical simulations. The gray histogram shows the isolated binary black hole, so a sample of isolated population synthesis, isolated binaries from population synthesis simulations that we run just for comparison with the dynamical simulation. And you see quite clearly that the two sample, the dynamical and the isolated sample, are statistically different between each other. In particular, the dynamical black holes have this tail of mergers at very high masses, which can explain, even at this relatively high metallicity, for example, the most massive event observed in the second observing run by LIGO and Virgo. But dynamical black holes are not the same. There are at least two subpopulations of what we call dynamical binary black holes that evolve in quite different way. So here we split the population of dynamical binary black holes into two subpopulations. In particular, this is again the total mass of black holes in merging binary black holes. The gray histogram is again the comparison sample of isolated binaries. The red here dashed histogram is the total distribution of dynamical black holes, while the orange and the blue histogram show the two subpopulations. The blue one comes from binary black holes that form via exchange, so black holes that acquired a companion through a dynamical exchange. while the orange histogram shows what we can call original binary black holes, so binary black holes that come from the evolution of binaries, stellar binaries, that were already in the initial conditions. So they evolved dynamically in the cluster, they harden or they split, but they are always in the same binary with the same companion through the evolution till they become black hole. And you see that the two subpopulations are quite different. The massive guys, all of them come from dynamical exchanges, while the original binary black holes basically are in the same mass range as the isolated binary black holes. Although, statistically, we can show that the orange distribution is not consistent with the gray distribution. So even original binary black holes are affected by dynamical evolution, by hardening and by ionization. So this plot is another way of showing the same thing. Here we show the mass of the secondary black hole, the lighter one, versus the mass of the primary black hole, the more massive ones, considering only merging binary systems. And these gray contours show the isolated binary evolution. The blue dots show the dynamical binaries from exchanges. The orange dots show the dynamical binaries from original binary evolution, while the red stars show the observations, the binary black hole mergers from the first and second observing run of LIGO and Virgo. This plot is not detection weighted, but you see already by eye that the only way for this metallicity to match GW170729 is with dynamical exchanges. And you also see here a few guys that come from binary black holes in the pairing stability mass gap, so the one we mentioned a few slides before. So in the last few minutes, I'm going to discuss another possible effect of dynamics. So is dynamics going to change the merge rate? Is going, for example, to boost the merge rate with respect to isolated binary evolution? Well, here I'm not showing the merger rate because this requires several other assumptions and I don't want to make other assumptions here. We have enough. This shows the merger efficiency, which means the number of binary black holes that merge within a Hubble time, integrated over a Hubble time, formed by the same stellar population. So if I simulate a population of 10 to the 7 solar masses of stars and I count 10 binary black holes that merge, then the merger efficiency is 10 to the minus 6 per solar mass. And here I show the merger efficiency as a function of the metallicity of the stellar population. The different lines come from Jacobo and Mappelli, and they are from isolated binary evolution with different assumptions about common envelope, kicks, and so on and so forth, while the three stars show the results of dynamical simulations. So these are black holes evolved dynamically. And you see that dynamics does not really boost the merger rate at low metallicity. We see even a slow decrease of the merger rate for very low metallicity. But at solar metallicity, where isolated binary evolution is very inefficient in producing merging black holes, dynamics can boost the merger rate by orders of magnitude. And this is really a dynamics. I mean, here, all the black holes that merge in our simulations form through dynamical exchanges. In 1 minute and a half, I would like at least to mention intermediate mass black holes. We know that star clusters, especially young star clusters, have been proposed as one of the places where intermediate mass black holes with mass above 100 solar masses can form. The main mechanism in young star clusters is runaway collisions. So in a young star cluster, the dynamical friction timescale is really short, less than 1 million years for the very massive star. So you expect the massive star to sink to the center before they actually become black holes. In the center, the massive stars interact with each other, they collide with each other, and can form a very massive star, hundreds of solar masses. And if these stars manage to avoid being disrupted by stellar winds or by mass losses by the collision, it may collapse to other massive black holes. So I'm going to show you just this plot of the mass function of IMVHs. This comes from the same simulation. Here we have many assumptions about what happens to the survival of the collapse, especially about mass losses. But this is the first attempt to extract an IMVH mass function with realistic kind of stellar evolution. And I try to convince you in my talk that dynamics can be very important to shape the properties of binary black holes. Here are my conclusions, and I thank you for your attention.
Questions, please? Could you elaborate on what you meant by fractal initial conditions? Is it just that?
Fractal. Okay. Well, we assume it's the same methodology that has been proposed by Simon Goodwin many years ago. So basically, we use a fractal number to decide. Okay, let me go more in detail. We start with a box, and we assume that there are no density changes in this box. So basically, we assume that stars are initially all distributed in a box. Then we use an algorithm to transform this box into a fractal box, which means that depending on the fractal index, which can run from 1.3 to 3, 3 means spherical, 1.3 means really, really fractal, we remove stars from some of the child boxes so that in the end we produce a distribution that is really clumpy. So it's still just, it's not a realistic methodology, it's not how stars form, it's just a trick to make our initial conditions look like they formed via realistic molecular clouds. So the good way to do it would be to start from molecular clouds, but this is something we cannot do, at least not at the moment.
So you have this complex interplay between metallicity, binary evolution, dynamics, the mass distribution as a function of all these parameters. Have you actually looked how this changes as you kind of progress to higher redshift? So that, you know, for future detections of gravitational wave sources out to substantial redshifts, presumably things will change in terms of the mass distribution.
Yeah. Oh, so you mean the mass distribution of the star class, of the stars in the star clusters,
or the mass distribution of the binary black holes that merge, and you know the rates and the fact that, you know, as you're looking, of course, to larger distances, you're looking at things that formed at lower metallicity on average. So all this interplay between cosmology
very good point. Indeed, it's what we are investigating right now. We have not the answer for the dynamical star clusters because this is the next step. We have done it recently for isolated binary evolution. So maybe missing the most massive and fancy black holes, but the main results of our analysis where we combined some prescriptions for the evolution of star formation rate density and metallicity in the universe and this population synthesis, surprisingly tell us that the mass of the binary black holes is not going to change dramatically. And the reason is that the merger efficiency in metal poor populations is so high, it's 3 orders of magnitude higher than the merger efficiency in solar metallicity stars, that basically the binary black holes that dominate our merging history are the ones that form from metal poor stars. Dynamics can change things a little bit because of the boost in the efficiency of merger of the solar metallicity guys, but the bottom line from at least from isolated binary evolution is that the mass of black holes does not change significantly with redshift. If the IMF stays the same, if nothing funny happens and things like that.
A similar question to Ido's. He asked about masses, I would like to ask about rates. I know there is a lot going into the rates, but do you have any estimate of rates for the channel and how the rate changes with redshift?
The rate of the dynamical channel,
yes,
you mean? Okay, this is a lot of things. The point here is that actually you don't know how efficient is the formation of young star clusters. as the redshift increases and metallicity changes. So with the same population synthesis simulation with no dynamics, we get rates that range between a few tenths of events per gigaparsec cube per year up to a couple of hundreds events per gigaparsec cube per year. With dynamics, again, it depends on how many star clusters you have. So our goal and what we already proposed in a proof of concept paper, Yann Bouffanet is the first author, is to not to try to predict the merge rate from first principles, but to try to infer the merge rate. So we have a mixture model where we assume that a part of our population comes from isolated binaries. A part of our population comes from these dynamical binaries. And then by using a Bayesian statistical approach, we see whether the observations, now the current observation, then the forthcoming observation of LIGO and Virgo, whether this can suggest to us what fraction of events come from dynamics and what fraction of events come from isolated binaries. So if you ask me this question in a couple of years from now, maybe at the end of three, I will have a better question, a better answer. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, kind of to connect to that as well, what fraction of the dynamical channel was in the gap? Because I think you saw a few of them merging within the gap. Can you put any like number on how many
2% basically.
Okay.
2%. And in this talk, I showed the preliminary sample at metallicity 0.1 solar. So I already know the first results of the full sample with different metallicities, and this 2% is kind of stable across metallicities apart from the solar metallicity. At solar metallicity, it's nearly impossible to form these objects, but from metallicity about 0.1 solar down to lower metallicity is about 2% of black holes in the gap. This strongly depends on what you assume for the after merger. So if you assume that some mass is lost or just stellar winds, and and it depends also on the density of the star clusters.
Yeah,
so this maybe is an upper limit.
That was actually also my next question. Like, what are the escape speeds for the clusters that you assume and
recoils?
They
are terribly, terribly low, like 5 kilometers per second to 10 kilometers per second. But indeed, these mergers happen outside the cluster. So you form them, most of them exchange and live happily in the cluster up to about 3 million years, and then they are all ejected and emerge well outside the cluster.
I have more technical comment to you and also to other people like Chris. There's no good reason to assume that the maximum mass is 150 solar masses. In fact, as Fabian Schneider showed last year in 30 routers, which he showed at the beginning, that the minimum maximum mass must be at least 200 solar masses. And he also found that actually the IMF must be much flatter than saltpeter, which also means there are many more black holes. So that's something
you
should also
mean so the maximum mass of the IMF.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
And they're also it's also flatter, so we have more massive stars than you expect. And it's a factor of four. It's quite significant.
Flatter, no, this is a Krupa mass function, and we are not even correcting for the fact that we have binaries. So actually we use 2.3 and we should use 2.7. But I completely
1.9.
agree.
Hmm? He gets 1.9.
Okay. Fine. Well, this is very good comment because it's even more important to check
exactly
how things depend on the IMF. I know Jakub Klenke from Chris' group also checked the effects of IMF recently, and yeah, I think this is very important to check. Actually, one thing that comes for free from the dynamical simulation is the formation of the more massive stars because you form them from collisions.
Okay, the last question from Dan.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty obvious, but it sounds like you probably don't get any second-generation black holes from this?
No, basically it's a side effect
the
of
escape
the
velocity.
Escape velocity, so you'll never retain second-generation black holes in these systems, which is good. If I would have one, I would have worried a lot about my recipes. I think you should really look at globular clusters and nuclear star clusters for this, and Carl, for sure, will talk about this later.
Okay, let us thank again, Philip, for a very nice talk.